This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dearest brothers and sisters and this is the 25th lesson of Tafsir Surah Yusuf عليه السلام it's maybe a good time to congratulate you all to be honest 25 lessons means what, nearly half the year. This course has been happening for half a year now. And many of you, mashallah, have been coming week in, week out to study Qur'an. And that is something fantastic. And that is something that Allah loves to see. So, you know, as Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتِ yeah, Allah says in Surah Baqarah that congratulations to those that believe and do righteous deeds of a paradise. Have a paradise. So may Allah accept our efforts really and be pleased with us with this because this is an accomplishment in our lives. Alhamdulillah. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam, amazing story. We've got to the part of the story. Whoa, mashallah, Snickers is to ask some harder questions for these ones. We've got to the part of the story where everything is falling together piece by piece. The dream that he had as a child. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشْرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمْرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ Dad saw an amazing dream. 11 stars, planets, the sun and the moon, all prostrating, can you believe it to me? It's finally piecing its way together in such a subtle, beautiful way. And this point that we reached, the brothers coming to Egypt for the third time, now find out that Aziz is actually their long-lost brother, Yusuf alayhi salam. And when they find out, their reaction is positive. They're remorseful. They say, إِنَّا كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ That indeed we were wrongdoers. We made a huge mistakes in what we did to you, what we did to our father, and what we've been doing up until now. So they changed people now. Okay, after all of these years, after all that hating and envy, they've reached the point now where, what do you know? They're reformed people once again. And Yusuf alayhi salam says, okay, now go back, take my qamis and cast it over the face of my father, who's been suffering for all these years. And a miracle Allah gave Yusuf alayhi salam in that shirt, that when it was cast over the face of Yaqub alayhi salam, his eyesight, which had worn away and withered away because of tears of grief, came back again. So now the story is about to conclude in a most splendid way. And all the family are now going to come back to Egypt. And they're not just going to come to Egypt to visit Yusuf alayhi salam, they're going to come back to live in probably the greatest country in the world at that time. Yeah, the most developed place. And interestingly, they're coming from Badu, which is the desert. And the Bedouins, you know, this is where the Bedouins live, in the arid desert. And it's a place, you know, uncivilized, and basically the technical way of explaining where they live is a place that is so scant and is so uninhabited that you can see the house from miles away. Like if you look from far away, you can see there's like a hut over there. And that's the Badu. Because no one lives there, it's like out in the middle of nowhere. They're going to go from there, suffering from a famine, to here, Misr, you know, the land of the king, all because of their son Yusuf alayhi salam. So this is where we've reached, okay, this is where we've reached now. So let us recite the verse we'll be covering today, inshallah, which is verses number 99 through to 102, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أبويه وقال ادخلوا مصر إن شاء وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِّمَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك وما كنت لديهم إذ أجمعوا أمرهم وهم يمكرون. Can I have the translation? Brothers and sisters, the story comes to an amazing conclusion, very beautiful, very moving. And in the beginning, we spoke about the verse نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ, and we said that this verse doesn't mean that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is the most beautiful or greatest in the Quran, but rather it's one of the greatest. And Allah is saying in that verse that all the stories in the Quran are the best stories you'll ever hear. But when you come to the end of Surah Yusuf, you feel like maybe this is the greatest story of all time, which is quite amazing. After Allah finishes the story, He will then say, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that indeed in their stories, meaning like this one and the others I've told you, there is an عِبْرَةٌ. There is an عِبْرَةٌ, which means a powerful lesson. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for those that have a pure, innocent intellect, that use this intellect to try and explore and understand the morals behind the story. The beautiful thing about this word, عِبْرَةٌ, is that it comes from the root of عُبُور. And عُبُور means to pass from one side to another. And it also has a meaning of عَبِر. عَبِرَتْ عَيْنُهُ in Arabic means that his eye shed tears. So the word عِبْرَةٌ means it contains a lesson that will move you to tears. That powerful. And Allah said that after He concluded the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We'll come to that verse later on. But for sure, the story is quite amazing. In this verse, in 99, Allah continues the story. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. Now, they're coming back to Egypt. Mom, dad, brothers, and even extended relatives. Because Yusuf alayhi salam said, bring me back all of your family to Egypt now. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا. So when they entered into Egypt, Ibn Ashur said, here Allah is telling us that they came to Egypt and they met Yusuf alayhi salam. But there's a whole journey in between them coming from Palestine to Egypt. But Allah looked over that and never related that to us because there's no lesson in that. There's no ibrah in that. And so Allah's storytelling is all about the lessons, not about the details. So Allah just says, and so they entered upon him. And the first thing that Yusuf alayhi salam did was, awa ilayhi abawayhi. He took mom and dad to one side. Awa can also mean to receive as guests. So the first thing he does, he's seen the whole family come. And one understanding is that he actually goes to the outskirts of Egypt. He doesn't wait for them to enter Egypt. He's there on the border of Egypt waiting for them. And so when he sees them, entering in, he takes mom and dad, he approaches them first and he takes them to one side to honor them. You know, that mom and dad, you're the first of everyone that I will show kindness, courteousness to. So he takes them to one side. وقال, and then he says, أُدْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ, and enter into Egypt if Allah wills, آمِنِينَ. Aminin from Aman. Aman means safe and secure, far removed from fear. Ibn Ashur said it means a state of itma'nan. Itma'nan is to feel content, peaceful. All types of fear have now vanished from your life. So when he says enter Egypt, insha'Allahu aminin, he's making a dua to Allah. And he's saying to Allah, O Allah, allow them to stay here and live with me with no fear, worry anymore. Very beautiful, isn't it? Because they've lived for so long in anxiety, stress. But now Allah, please, allow them to live here, amineen, free of all of that. Meaning give them the best type of residency in Egypt that they could possibly want. You know how you end a story at the end always comes together nicely, right? And then at the end you say, and they lived happily ever after. In the same way he's saying, Udkhulu Misra inshaAllah, amineen. And stay here now, happily ever after, you know. So he's making a dua for his parents. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, if you look at the verse, there seems to be something that doesn't make sense. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا. So when they entered Egypt, he says, enter Egypt. Do you get this? Allah says, when they entered Egypt, Yusuf alayhi salam says, أُدْخُلُوا مِصْرَ, enter Egypt. But I thought they already entered Egypt. So how do we make sense of that? He says there's two ways to understand it. The first way is that he meets them at the border of Egypt, just like someone meets someone at their doorstep. You know when someone knocks on your door and you open the door? They're at your house, you say, enter, yeah, come inside. In the same way he's saying, udkhulu, now come inside properly. Or the second understanding is that he's saying, udkhulu means enter and stay here now. Enter and stay. This is going to be your place now. Don't just enter in. You've come here now. No, no. Now you're going to stay properly. Okay? Make yourselves at home. Udkhulu Misra insha'Allah. Now, there's a symbolic way of looking at this as well. Because Yusuf alayhi salam, and then later on, another great prophet who will come and is born in Egypt. Who's that other great prophet? Musa alayhi salam, coming many years afterwards. In fact, some said that the wife of Fir'aun was a direct ancestor of the wife of Aziz. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned this in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, that the wife of Fir'aun, who looks after Musa alayhi salam, was the direct descendant of the wife of Aziz. Okay, so there's big roots there in Egypt. There's a symbolic way of looking at the family of Ya'qub entering into Egypt. And that is that it's not just the family of Ya'qub al-Islam entering Egypt, but who is entering into Egypt? Which nation is entering into Egypt? Also known as? Bani Israel. Bani Israel means the sons of Ya'qub. Yeah, and that's the lineage. Because Ya'qub alayhi salam, according to two opinions, either his sons become all prophets, which are known as Al-Asbat in the Quran, or sons from those sons become prophets, and those are known as Asbat. And then from those prophets come Bani Israel. Okay, so Bani Israel is a lineage that starts with Ya'qub alayhi salam. But their story of their struggle in Egypt begins, in fact, here. Because they came into Egypt through Ya'qub alayhi salam. And they leave Egypt through Musa alayhi salam. Yeah, they leave Egypt through Musa alayhi salam. So you can look at this in a symbolic way. Like if you got someone to say, how did Bani Israel end up in Egypt in the first place? Where did they come from? Okay, and it was this part. Udkhulu Misra insha'Allah. Yeah, this is how Bani Israel entered into Egypt. Okay, now, the other thing to notice is piecing the story together. You know, in the beginning of the story, after Yusuf alayhi salam tells his dad that amazing dream, dad gives him some really good advice. Honestly, subhanAllah. An amazing advice that any father can take so much benefit from. if he wants to know parenting skills. Part of that advice is praising his son. And one of the things he says to praise Yusuf, he says that, you know, with this dream, you're going to be special. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ And he says, with this, Allah will complete his favor on you as well as the family of Ya'qub. As if he's saying that you're going to, you know, be special and you're going to have so many gifts in your life, and we're kind of going to benefit from that too. You know, the blessings that you have, we're going to benefit too. And this entering into Egypt to live, going from the desert to Egypt, is one very clear way that they benefit from their son Yusuf, isn't it? So if you want to piece it together, dad forecasted that we're going to benefit from you in such a big way. And here, towards the end, we're seeing that the whole family, just like dad said in the beginning, is actually benefiting in a very amazing way. Okay. Now, that epic verse, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا And then Yusuf alayhi salam, رَفَعَ He raised up both of his parents to the arsh. Now there's only one throne in the kingdom, right? There's never two thrones, is there? So this is the throne of the king. So how is Yusuf alayhi salam able to enter the king's palace and to, you know, make use of his throne? Well, either it means that he had as much power as the king of Egypt, or he had become so influential that he was even more powerful than the king. Yeah, there's only two ways to understand it. Regardless, he's now in the big palace of Egypt. And as a way of honoring his family, and especially his parents, he takes both of his parents, and he's about to place them on the throne of the king, as an act of honoring them. Now, did Yusuf alayhi salam have both of his parents alive at that time? Ya'qub alayhi salam, it is clear that he's alive. However, his mother, according to the majority of Mufassirun ibn Ashur, said, passed away many years ago. They said, some of them said whilst giving birth to Binyamin, others said afterwards. So Allah said when he raised both of his parents, Abaway, to the Arsh, who is the mother then? They said that the mother in fact is the sister of his mother. Ya'qub married after the death of his wife, her sister. She was therefore the khala of Yusuf, the maternal auntie. And she had a big hand in raising him up as well. So she is like the second parent, if you like, from that perspective. So either it is the actual mother of Yusuf alayhi salam, or it is the auntie of Yusuf alayhi salam that is being put in the place of the mother. And in fact, subhanAllah, you find that many times the sister of your mum is very kind and caring and affectionate towards you, unlike other relatives. You know, she has a care towards you that you wouldn't find from other relatives. So ala kulli hal, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ So he raised them up onto the throne. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا And then, خَرُّوا is the plural, to fall down. لَهُ to him, meaning Yusuf alayhi salam, سُجَّدًا How exactly did they fall down? They fell down in prostration. So Ibn Ashur rahimahullah explains this very nice. He says, وَخَرُّوا is حَالِيَّ meaning, whilst he's taking his parents saying, look, mom, dad, you know, I want to honor you. And what I want you to do, you know, as an act of honor is, see that throne up there? I want you to take your seat on that. Whilst he's taking them to that throne to sit them down, the whole family is coming behind as well. And at that moment, before he's able to even place them on the throne, خَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا That they fall down in prostration to him, showing him respect. So when he turns and he sees that, what does he say? وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي Oh my dad, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ This is the interpretation of my dream from way back ago. It's like amazing. He's not even thinking about, you know, taking a seat on the throne himself. He's too humble for that. And whilst he's taking his mom and dad there, what do you know? They're already prostrating to you, Yusuf. And when he sees that happening, the penny drops. You know, like the penny drops, oh, what? This is that dream from all that years ago? Amazing. خَرُّ means to fall down out of love and adulation. Kharra. Yeah? To fall down out of love and adulation. Sujjada means to place your head on the ground. Now here, is it right to do that to someone, to fall down in prostration? We'll come to that. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains how we understand this. Regardless, they fell down in prostration to Yusuf al-Islam as a sign of utmost respect. And it's mom, dad, all the brothers. Brothers that once upon a time were trying to kill him, throw him in the bottom of a well. Now they're falling down on their faces in prostration to him. You know, it's quite amazing. At that moment he says, وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ قَدَ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّى. And indeed, my master made it come true. There was another word for dreams that we came across. You know, when the chieftains of the king were asked, أَفْتُونِي, give me the interpretation of my dream, the king said to them. What did they say? How did they call his dream? They never called it a ru'ya. They called it something else. Anyone remember that? Yes. Ahlam is half of it. Adghathu ahlam. Naam, ahsant. Adghathu ahlam. Fadl. They said, Adghathu ahlam. We don't know about these mixed up weird dreams, O king. Meaning, it's not even a real dream. Okay? That's what they were trying to say in a nice, polite way. So, Yusuf alayhi salam said, Allah gave me a true dream. He never gave me adghathu ahlam. Yeah, he never gave me some weird mixed up dream. That was a real true inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ta'wil here means not interpretation. He already knew the interpretation when he first saw it. Ta'wil here means actualization. This is the actualization of that dream. Like you see something that's going to happen to you. And you know what that means. Like, this is what's going to happen to me. I understand what that means. I know the ta'wil. No, but when it actually happens, and you see it happening, that's also referred to as ta'wil, which is the actualization of something. So there's a number of ways the word ta'wil is being used in the Quran. These are the two main ways. Either interpretation, or to mean the ending of something, or the actualization of something. Now the word ta'wil is used obviously in different ways as well outside of the Quran. It's used by the scholars of early tafsir, like Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah, to mean tafsir. When he says this is, you know, the ta'wil of hadhi ayah, he doesn't mean this is the, you know, symbolic way of understanding the ayah, or this is the allegorical meaning, you know. No. He means this is the tafsir of the ayah. Later on, the word ta'wil was hijacked by other Muslim groups. And what they meant by ta'wil, when they used it, is this is a, how can you put it, a different way to understand the interpretation. This is a different understanding or a different interpretation. Obviously, that different interpretation is most often incorrect and misguided. And so the word ta'wil became hijacked and being used in a negative way. And so when someone says, you know, this is the ta'wil, or you're making ta'wil, what they mean is that this is the misunderstood interpretation. This is the wrong interpretation. Okay? But when they read the verse, ta'wil, they might think, oh no, ta'wil is the right interpretation. Look, it's being used positively. No. Different meanings. Okay? So, this is a side note. So he says, indeed, my master has made this dream come true. Now, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has this to say about making sajda to other than Allah. He said, in our sharia, it is not correct to make sujood except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, even before this, standing up out of honor for someone, something practiced by the non-Arabs, was also prohibited. How much more so must prostrating and bowing then be? The ruku' is something also prohibited. So he's saying that sharia's of prophets differ. As for the sharia of Yaqub alayhi salam, it was permissible to do this. So they call this the sujood of ihtiram. Ihtiram means to show honor, okay, and honor and respect. As opposed to the sujood of ibadah. Sujood of ibadah is a prostration out of worship and subservience. No. There was a distinction in the previous Sharia. You can do respectful sajda to someone. You can't obviously do a sajda of ibadah. In our Sharia, both, okay, were prohibited. And not just a sajda, but Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah also said a standing. You know, like when the king comes in or someone notable comes in, you stand up out of respect. And that happens a lot still in our times. Or bowing the head down. You know, in Victorian times, for example, you know, a gentleman would see a woman and then he'd take his hat off and bow his head down, right? Those type of things, all those things, not permissible. Okay, and that was a way of purifying the ubudiyah of this ummah, that they would show exclusive devotion and even shades of devotion only to Allah and Allah alone. You know, no one else would be shown that. In previous Sharia, it was permissible. In fact, there's an interesting story about Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He went to Rome, okay, on an expedition, and he met many, you know, Romans there, and they showed a lot of respect for their leaders. And one of the ways they would show respect, they would fall into prostration. They would just go down on the floor if, you know, the emperor or some of the emperor's men walked past. And he thought to himself that if they do that for them, then we should do that for our Prophet. So when he came back to Medina and he saw the Prophet ﷺ after a long time had passed, he fell down in prostration. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this for?" And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I saw that the Romans did this for their notables, and I thought you're more deserved than this, than that, than them." So the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited him from doing that. And he said, "This can only be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, he's going to summarize his entire life away from family in just a few words. So mom and dad are there, family's there, and now he's sitting with them. And he's got them all around him, and he's going to take a moment to kind of like make a speech. And I want to kind of summarize my life to you. What can I say? You know, obviously all of them ask you, you know, what was your life like? What did you get up to? Like, how did you end up here? You know, what did you go through? So he's going to say, okay, I'm going to summarize my life, okay. And I'm not going to make it long, it's going to make it short. It's very amazing how he summarizes his life. He says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. And indeed, أَحْسَنَ, he, meaning Allah. Allah was أَحْسَن. Here it means لُطْف. It means that Allah was kind to me. Allah was kind to me. Yeah. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. When he took me out of prison. So dad's sitting there and he's thinking, you went to prison? What happened there? What did you do? But you know what? What's even more amazing is that, hang on a minute, what about the will? What about the crazy lady? What about the slander? What about slavery? You just skipped all that. You just went straight to إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. When Allah was so kind to me, He rescued me from prison. SubhanAllah. Totally glosses over the worst parts of his life, isn't it? And he focuses on the best part, which was the moment that he comes out of prison. And interestingly here, Ibn Ashur said, he's not just talking about, oh, I'm free from prison now. It's what came with that freedom, which was what? Having his reputation restored, isn't it? Justice was served. That's the main thing I got from getting out of prison. It's not that I managed to run away from prison. No. My reputation, which was tarnished, was then fully restored with the confession of Imra'atul Aziz. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ. And now up to this moment. So my life is basically coming out of prison. And Alhamdulillah, Allah took care of me there. And now look, وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ. And Allah done was so kind to me that He brought all of you, وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ مِنَ الْبَدُوِ, brought you all to me from the Badu, from the desert, arid desert. بَعْدَ, after, meaning something did happen bad. بَعْدَ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. After the shaytan did nazgh between me and my brothers. Hang on a minute. You didn't do anything wrong. It's your brothers, right? Your brothers were the one that hated on you and envied you and threw you in a well. Why are you saying that it was between you and them that shaitan did something? What is it that shaitan did? He said, بَعْدَ النَّزَغَ. النَّزَغَ There's another word in the Quran where Allah uses to talk about the way shaitan has influence over a human being. What's that other word? Sultan, yeah, huh? There's another more common word. There's another word. Yes, wiswas. Fadl Sheikh, pink for you. Nazgh and wiswas. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the shaitan, yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. He does wiswas. And wiswas is to say something in a way that you may not hear. And it's more general, because what is he saying? Well, he could be beautifying a sin to you, saying it's not that bad, it's okay bro, you can talk to on Facebook, no one's going to find out, it's cool. Sometimes you can hear that voice. Hey, don't be saying that, I'm not going to do that, astaghfirullah. Sometimes you can't hear it, right? So it's general, wiswas. As for nazgh, it's particular. It refers to when someone creates fasad between people. Yeah? When shaitan creates fasad between people, basically when he makes people fall out with each other. Okay? So Yusuf alayhi salam says, Allah was so good to me. Number one, he took me out of prison. Number two, what else did he do? He brought you all here out of the Bedouin life to live this plush life. And number three, look how he reconciled between me and my brothers after shaitan made us fall out. After shaitan made us fall out? I thought it was more about after shaitan got the better of them and made them try and kill me. Well, that's the way he wanted to say it. Okay, that's the way he wanted to say it. Which is very interesting, because we're going to have a little activity, which is, let us ask the question, why didn't he say certain things? Okay, why didn't he say, for example, you know, that Allah was so good to me that he took me out of the well? That's a good thing, isn't it? Why didn't he say that after shaitan got the better of my brothers? That's what no person would say, isn't it? Shaitan got the better of them. Alhamdulillah, after that Allah brought us together. He didn't say those things. Tayyib. The last thing he says, yeah. So, bayni wa bayna ikhwati. 2 points to note here. How Yusuf alayhi salam links ihsan, kindness and care, back to Allah. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. Allah was kind to me. Now, as for evil things that happened to him, who does he link them to? Shaytan. Ihsan ila Allah, as for nazgh ila shaytan. Now that shows the true attitude of a believer, that when he sees misfortune in his life, he knows that either I'm the cause of this misfortune or shaitan, yeah, is there. As opposed to someone who sees misfortune in life and he says, God, why me? You know. And the opposite. Anything good happens to him, immediately he thinks, Allah, you're doing this to me. And thank you, Allah. Thank you. And this is a form of shukr that Yusuf alayhi salam is expressing it by saying, you know, Allah was so good to me. He's thanking Allah. So this is how he summarizes his life. Short and sweet. And to be honest, quite amazing. Like, he's not talking about any of the hardships he went through. He didn't talk about the fact that he was thrown into a well. He never talked about the fact that he was sold into slavery. He never talked about the fact that there was a crazy lady that tried to seduce him. He never talked about the fact that he was accused of attempted rape. He never talked about the fact that he had to spend so many years in prison and that other prisoner, which I told him, go and do this one thing for me, he forgot about it. No. He just glossed over all of that. What do we learn from that? Okay. So, brothers, get into pairs now. Okay. And this is the question that you need to ask yourselves. Yusuf alayhi salam summarizes his life up until this point and chooses not to mention the following. Why? He chooses not to mention his time in the well. Why? He chooses not to mention being sold into slavery. He chooses not to mention the ordeal that he had gone through with Aziz's wife. He chose not to mention that, well, he could have said, you know, that Allah brought you to me, you know, from jua, from hunger, because you guys are suffering from famine and poverty, and Allah, look, brought you to me and saved you from poverty. Instead, he said, Allah brought you from the Bedouin lifestyle. Well, it's not just that they're Bedouins, because they've always been Bedouins. It's that they're in need now. They were coming to you 3 years in a row for food and rations because they got nothing. So it's more accurate to say after Allah brought you here out of hunger and poverty. He doesn't say that. He says Allah brought you here from your Bedouin life. Okay. Another thing that he says, it doesn't say rather, that he says Allah was kind to me and not Allah was kind to you. If anything, the one who's being honored and being, you know, finding favor in their life and fortune is the family, right? The family are the ones coming from the desert now to live in Egypt happily ever after. He's already living happily ever after in Egypt. But he doesn't say that Allah has done so much kindness to you. He says Allah has been kind to me. Why doesn't he say it the other way around? And lastly, shaitan. Shaitan, he never said caused nazgh, you know, in ikhwati, in my brothers. Amongst themselves, he made them, you know, have fasad. Rather, he says between me and my brothers. Interesting. Do you get the question, brothers? We're asking the question, why not? Why didn't he say these things? What's the wisdom behind that? So, you've got 2 minutes now, okay? There's many different answers that you can give. In 2 minutes, discuss with a peer now what you think some of those answers are, inshallah. And then I'm going to choose some people and tell me what they think is the right answer. A lot of discussion, mashallah. But let's listen to what you have to say. Tayyib. Some people are getting, mashallah, very passionate about this. Okay, brothers, we'll take some from the right hand side. Let's have you. Is there three there? Or?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, Fadl, what do you think?
As it's for time to forgiveness, he doesn't want to mention all this to his family.
Okay, it's time for forgiveness. So he's forgiving. Okay, so he doesn't want to bring it up because of what? It's time for forgiveness. Yeah, you're very close. It's time for forgiveness. It is time for forgiveness. But what would happen if he mentioned it? How would that be bad? Okay, very good point. So the brother said because, you know, he's going to make his brothers feel bad, you know, and there's no need to make them feel bad and mention what they've done wrong because they reformed now, you know, they changed people, they regret what they did, they're guilty. Okay, it's good. That's good. Yes, go ahead. Okay, but go rewind again. Because the first thing you said was he's forgiven them, right?
Yeah. It shows
that, so if you've forgiven them, then. Okay, mashallah, very good, akhi. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Say mashallah. The brother said that Yusuf alayhi salam, he said to them, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. He didn't say this, but this is what he meant. He said that, listen, today no blame whatsoever going to fall upon you. I'm not going to make mention of this ever again. So he already said, I've forgiven you and I'm going to forget everything. So now when it comes to summarizing his life to mom and dad, he sticks to his word and he doesn't mention anything. The only ishara Ibn Ashur says he gives is that he says, بعد أن نزغ, بعد, after shaitan had caused some nazgh between me and my brother. I'll say there was something that happened then. Very, very subtle. Yeah, very subtle. Well, he doesn't say the well. The well? What do you mean the well? Dad says, tell me about the will. How did you get in the will? You, oh my. Yeah, so he doesn't want to go there because he's forgiven. A true forgiveness. Very good. At the back, what do you think of yourself at the back there?
First one.
Anything, any of these. Just select anyone or group them together as you wish. You know, why doesn't he mention his ordeal, the Aziz's wife, or say to his family, Allah brought you out of poverty to me. Anything else? No? Okay, what do you think?
I think
think there's like a common trend here. He's trying to.
He's trying to cover that up. He's trying to cover. You said he's trying to cover up the flaws of other people. But why? Why would he? The brothers is clear. The brother made it clear that the brothers.
You mentioned in another das, basically, that
faults. Okay, so the brother said that, you know, from great character, there's a trait which is that you have taghaful. Taghaful. Taghaful is basically, you know, being very easygoing with other people's mistakes as long as they're personal towards yourself. You know, you let things go easily. Yeah, so he doesn't want to expose other people's faults like Imra'atul Aziz and, you know, these kind of things. And, you know, people like to gossip as well, isn't it? You know, if all those things happen to you, then someone says, you know, like, what do they have those kind of shows? I forgot the name of the show. I remember my dad used to watch it when we were young. Something, someone brings out, you got to summarize your life or something. This is your life or something. I can't remember this show. Is it called This Is Your Life?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, the brother in the back is like, yeah, yeah. You just expose yourself, okay? Dave, this is your life. Yeah, so someone's going to be interviewed. Oh, well, how's your life? You know, tell us. And most probably, you go into details. You know, you talk about your adventures, ups and downs, and, you know, like to make a show of things, you know. Not useful, Islam. No. Totally glossed over that. I'm not one to gossip. I'm a humble person. I'm not going to start talking about my life. I'll tell you the most important parts. And it's not even most important to me. It's things to do with Allah. Isn't it? It's to do with Allah. It's not even to do with me. Yes, Ali. What else? Ali, mashallah, ahsant. Brother, say mashallah. Snickers for you, akhi. The brother said that Yusuf alayhi salam is not an ordinary person. He's been through many tough times and tribulations in his life, but he knows that through every test there is positive outcomes. And therefore, if I, you know, manage to overcome tests in a positive way, then those tests are actually a source of benefit for me. Like if I come through tribulations with sabr and taqwa, which is what he mentioned before, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ, then it's for my own. I'll get reward, I'll get my sins forgiven, I'll get a greater rank before Allah, I'll get all of this dunya. That's a positive way of looking at it. So for me, it's all positive. You know, there's no negativity there. I mean, it was difficult, but I'm looking at it from another perspective. Why is Allah testing me? What am I going to get out of this? Is there any goodness in this for me? You know what there is? This positive attitude and husnul dhan of Allah is being brought out in the summary of his life. Yeah, so that's very good. Where else? Why doesn't he say to his family, you know, وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْجُوعِ, and Allah brought you here out of hunger? He says, and Allah brought you here from the Bedouin life. What do you think?
Traveler,
yep.
So he knows that who he's speaking to, a prophet and his family.
Right.
So he knows that that's not the main thing.
That's not the main
life.
Ah, okay, interesting. So he's saying that because Yaqub al-Islam is a prophet of Allah. And he recognizes, you know, what life is about. Being hungry and suffering poverty, you know, it's not really that big a deal if you can, you know, behave and conduct yourself properly in that situation. So it's not, if Yusuf al-Islam says to me, Allah brought you out of hunger, well, you know, that was a test from Allah and there were some positives there, so, is that what you're saying? You forgot the point.
As I was speaking, okay.
Huh?
As I was speaking, I forgot the point.
Well, you remember it now?
Thank you.
Anything else, brothers? At the back there, yep. Okay, very good, bro. MashaAllah. I'm going to go for this one, yeah? Allahu Akbar. He's trying to honor his family. You know, he's not going to put them down by saying, look at you, you came from this poor lifestyle, now you're living with me. No, he wants to honor them. You know, doesn't want to embarrass them. So he's speaking respectfully towards his parents by choosing his words carefully. He could say you came from poverty, or he could say, well, you came from that place better in life and now you're here. You know, this is more sensitive. He's being sensitive in the way he's speaking to them. Right, because of time, I'll add a few other points. The thing is, he chooses the moment where he comes out of prison instead of choosing the moment he comes out of the well. Why? Perhaps one reason is because, well, coming out of the well only meant being sold into slavery. Being sold into slavery only meant having to live in the house of the crazy lady, right? Having to live in the house of the crazy lady only meant having to go to prison. So he, subhanAllah, chose the best moment of his life to attribute back to Allah. The best moment. And that is expressive of such a beautiful, you know, attitude towards your Creator. That you see the best of your life coming from Allah. And you are ready to attribute that not to your own efforts, but to Allah. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي. Not I got out, when He took me out from prison. The best moment of my life, after which I became Aziz, and you see all this palace, and this all from Allah. The moment He took me out of prison, this is what came to me. And so it's not even point me talking about coming out of the world, because after the world was so many other things as well. So he chooses the best moment of his life. Okay, so this is one thing. The other thing is, why doesn't he say to his dad and family, you know, that... Oh, sorry, why doesn't he say to his brothers? This is the interesting one, in fact. Why doesn't he say, you know, بعد أن نزغ إخوتي. بعد أن نزغ شيطان إخوتي. After Shaytan caused this facade to happen between my brothers. Instead he says, after Shaytan caused facade to happen between me and my brothers. Well, partly because he doesn't want to expose the brothers for what they did. He's forgiven and I've forgotten. I'm not going to bring it up again. But also because he's looking at, subhanAllah, this is ajeeb, what dad taught him 40 years ago. Dad said to him, the moment he heard the dream, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين, subhanAllah. Dad said to him when he was this tall, son, brothers envy you, but Shaytan is there. Shaytan is the one who is encouraging them, whispering to them, and they may fall prey to his suggestion. So that advice comes through the tongue of the son 40 years afterwards. He recognizes what happened is not just about the brothers. There is Shaytan there. Dad taught me about Shaytan. And that advice not only made me appreciate the role of Shaytan behind people doing evil, but it also gave me the heart to forgive them. Because I can see they done so much wrong to me, but there was Shaytan there as well. You know, and Shaytan, what was he trying to do? He was just trying to split us up. But look what Shaytan's plan failed. We're all here together again. We're reconciled. Shaytan failed. Yeah, Shaytan tried to get the better of me and my brothers. Yeah, so this is perhaps the reason why he doesn't say that after Shaytan got the better of my brothers. Wallahu a'lam. Now, let us see here. This is the last part of the summary. He says, "Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha." Indeed, my Rabb is latif lima yasha, to anyone he wills. What does it mean to be latif? Here, Yusuf al-Islam, after summarizing his life, is now telling his whole family that, you know, that's the summary of my life, but can I take this opportunity to teach you something? I want to teach you, what did I learn from my life? It's not about my life, my ups and downs, the scandals in my life. No, this is about what I learned from my life. So Ibn Ashur rahimahullah says that Yusuf al-Islam took this opportunity when he's got the ear of his whole family to teach them what he learned from his life. And what he learned from his life is who Allah is. What did you learn about Allah? Inna Rabbi, indeed my master is Latif lima yasha, to whoever he so wishes. What does it mean to be Latif? This is one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he explained it. He said, and I'll quote it, he is subtle in how he makes happen what he wants. He brings it about in a way that the people will not perceive or be aware. The name of Allah, Al-Latif, encompasses having knowledge of the most minute shay and intricate of things, and also to make his rahmah reach its target in the most inconspicuous and subtle of ways. So Yusuf is saying, I learnt that Allah is Latif. That Allah brings rahmah to a person's life in a way that they will never be able to appreciate. Not appreciate, but be aware of. Like, where did this come about from? And that's amazing. Because the moment that the family are prostrating to him is in a moment that was unimaginable when he was in the bottom of the well, isn't it? That's the last thing you think would have ever happened. And the way that it came about through the struggles, that's also quite unimaginable, that this story would come about like this to end here. That's why he chooses the name of Allah, Latif. Inna Rabbi Latifun lima yasha. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that it comprises of two things. Number one, it's having knowledge of the minutiae things. Now, having knowledge is one thing, but having knowledge of the daqa'iq, he says, of the tiny minutiae things, that's another thing. Like, many of us like know how to take good pictures with our phones, right? But if I was to ask you, like, how does the, you know, the picture go from the lens into the phone onto the screen captured? How does that happen exactly? Well, what's the technicalities behind that? I don't think anyone would be able to answer that question. This is the intricacies. So this is one connotation to the name Latif, that it is know the hidden intricacies behind things. The second connotation is to make care, love and compassion reach someone in a way that they don't perceive it. You know, in a way that they don't perceive. So here Yusuf alayhi salam is recognizing Allah is like this. My life, mom, dad, brothers taught me Allah is Latif. Lima yasha, you know, he says lima yasha to whoever he so wishes. He's trying to say that, again, it's not just about me. I'm not just a special person. It's not me. The reality is that innahu man yattaqi wa yasbir, whoever has sabr and taqwa in their life, sabr in difficult times, taqwa in times of temptation, this will happen to you. You will find happiness in your life. You will find happiness in the akhirah, and the happiness will come to you in ways that you will never even imagine. And now that's the lesson he's teaching us all. And then he ends, innahu huwa al-alimul hakim. Indeed, Allah is alim. So you might be thinking that, oh, you know, Allah brings rahmah to people's lives and He brings happiness to them in ways that they would never come to see of. Is that just like based on fun, arbitrary, whim? He can have some rahmah, he can't have some rahmah, she has a good life, he has a bad life. I'm Allah, astaghfirullah, I do what I want. No. Innahu huwa al-alim. Indeed, He, huwa. As if to say, no one else could be like this. He is all knowledgeable. This care and compassion, he shows it to someone based on knowledge. Like, he knows you in and out. As-Sa'di said, he means he knows you better than anyone else. So he knows who deserves to be shown this care and compassion. And the way that he shows it is based on hikmah, wisdom. And that is why he says, innahu huwa al-alim al-hakim. Indeed, he is all-knowing and all-wise. And here Sa'di rahimahullah says, you know, hikmah, wisdom is to put something in its place, but it's also to put it in the right place, in the right time, in the right moment. And the life of Yusuf al-Islam is ajeeb in that way, because things are happening in certain times, and even there's indication that something was going to happen, but it didn't happen. Like when he was going to get out of prison. He says, "Udhkurni 'inda rabbik." Go and tell the king about my plight, okay? And what happens? He forgets. Oh my God. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجِن. He ends up staying in prison for so much more longer. Someone's thinking, oh my God, man. Come on, that's enough, Yusuf. Let's get him out of prison already. No. He is Hakim. He makes things come together exactly at the right time. You know, you can appreciate that so much when you reflect over the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Another amazing thing, connecting the whole surah together, is he chooses to call Allah and recognize Him by these two names. All-knowing, all-wise. Who was the first person in the story to say, you know what, son, Allah is all-knowing and all-wise? Yusuf's dad. Right at the beginning where he says, كَذَلِكَ يَجَتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتُهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ. Then he says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Subhanallah. Dad taught me that Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. I didn't know what it meant then. Now I know what it means. So it's amazing. Dad's advice is really showing it, you know, his way through the tongue of his son later on in his life. Now, he continues. Okay, he continues to end the whole story. This is the end of the story, the last verse of the story. He says, Rabbi قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي. Rabbi, meaning now I'm just talking to Allah. I spoke to my family. I told them what happened in my life. I shared with them what I learned from my life. And now Allah, even though I have everything imaginable. Sa'adi said, he's got money. He's got knowledge. He's got family. He's got everything. At that moment where he has everything, the moment where you've made it, you've actually made it. In life, you've made it. At that moment, he chooses to say this dua to Allah. He says, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. My Lord, indeed you have given me مِنَ الْمُلْكِ, something of sovereignty, meaning something of authority. You made me the Aziz of this amazing country. Okay, you gave me that. Interestingly, he doesn't say, I made it big. You see my CV? I went to this course, I got this diploma, this master, this PhD, this experience. I made it big. No. He says, Rabbi, قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي. You gave me, you gifted me this thing. Yeah, he attributes success in his life not to his own effort, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَعَلَّمْتَنِي. And what about my knowledge that I have? I'm incredibly knowledgeable. Like, I can interpret any dream. Well, it's not really my own doing. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي. You taught me مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ, something of dream interpretation. And as you can appreciate, dream interpretation has got him very fine life, right? Very fine life. So, who can answer this question? Why does he say from twice? He says, Allah, you gave me something from authority and sovereignty and something from dream interpretation. Like, why do you say min twice for? Surely he can say, Allah, you gave me from authority and you gave me ability to interpret dreams. So why does the min happen? Why does the min come twice? From min of tab'id, a portion. At the back there, brother. Yeah. Ahsant, mashallah, tabarakallah. Fadal akhi. Sorry, both row. Because he said that the full extent of both of sovereignty and knowledge belong to Allah. So he's sitting there in control of the greatest country in the world at that time, and he says, this is a tiny speck in your mulk, Ya Allah. It's not even any speck. Min al mulk. You gave me something from authority. Humbleness before Allah. Appreciation to Allah. And the same thing with ilm. I have ilm like no one else. I interpreted the dream of the king. No one in Egypt, which is a land of proficient dream interpreters could do this. Yet I did it. Allah, you taught me number one, but you taught me just something of it. There's so much else out there I don't know. You know? So appreciating that Allah is all knowledgeable and what He has is just a tiny portion of what Allah has given. Now, فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. And you are the فاطر of the skies, space, outer space, all the galaxies. You're the فاطر of that. And you're also the فاطر of the earth as well. What does it mean, فاطر? You know, in the Quran, you find many words translated as creator. You find خالق, فاطر, بارئ, بديع. Any other word? بديع, فاطر, مصور. مصور. That's another word. So there's like five words for creator in the Quran. There must be differences between them, right? They can't all mean exactly the same thing. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma actually was unsure of the meaning of the word فاطر when attributed to Allah. What does it mean Allah is فاطر? And he said, I wasn't sure of the meaning until two Bedouins came to me arguing. They came arguing and one said to the other, أَنَا فَطَرْتُهَا وَأَنَا ابْتَدَأْتُ حَفْرَحَا. They were arguing over a well, who the well belongs to. One of them says, أَنَا فَطَرْتُهَا. I am the one that did the fitr of this well, and meaning I'm the one who dug it up and made the water flow to the top. Yeah. So he said, when he mentioned that, and by the way, the Bedouins have the richest form of Arabic, I knew what فاطر then means. What it means is Allah is the, originator. That this earth, Allah, if you like, and the whole universe, Allah is the one who opened it up into being. Yeah, opened it up into being. So He's the فاطر السماوات والأرض. Interestingly also, the word فاطر comes, we get the word فطر. And from فطر we get the word فطرة. Fitra means the guidance that Allah has given every single human being, right? So فاطر, not only the originator, but the one who, you know, guides the creation as well. It's got those two connotations to it. Okay, so Yusuf alayhi salam, he's saying, Allah, He is the originator and the carer of the whole universe. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. And you are my wali in this world as well as the life to come. So here Ibn Ashur says he's making a dua. That's the way you understand it. That he's making a dua to Allah. Allah, be my friend. SubhanAllah. Saying to Allah. And how many of us have ever said to Allah, be my friend? Don't we need Allah as our friend? And not just friend, it means Nasir. Nasir is the helper. So he said to Allah, after he's achieved everything imaginable, Allah, be my friend that helps me. He always feels dependent on Allah, regardless of the situation. He could be in the best situation, the worst situation, yet he still feels dependent on Allah. Allah, be my helper. And not just in this world as well as the world to come. Tawaffani muslima. Then he ends it off by saying, Tawaffani. And take my life, Muslima, whilst I'm in a state of Islam, وَالْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, and make me join up with, come together with the Salihin, the righteous ones. And that's quite beautiful because he's just been joined up with his family, loved ones. But at that time, he's recognizing that family is good. And Alhamdulillah, I appreciate that, Ya Allah. But there's no companion out there like a righteous companion, isn't it? Some people have parents, unfortunately, not practicing. They even tell you not to practice Islam. What kind of parent is that? But some people have those parents. Some people have those brothers and wives, husbands. So he recognizes that family is amazing, but there's nothing that beats having a righteous companion. So he says, Ya Allah, take my life from me whilst I'm a Muslim, and join me up with the Salihin. You know, those are the real people that I need to be with. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, here, rather Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, explains Okay, he says that here somebody may interpret this to mean Yusuf is asking for death. Tawaffani, you know, Allah, take my life from me. You know, and some people have this misunderstanding where they believe that it's a good idea to ask Allah to end their life. If their life is going well or going bad, either way, Allah, take my life from me. You know, some people despair and they end up asking Allah to take their life from them. However, this is not the meaning here. He says the meaning is, when you take my life from me, take it in the state of Islam. Yes, take it in the state of Islam. Like Allah says, Surah Al Imran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Believers, fear Allah and don't die except as Muslims. But Allah already addressed you as believers. You ever thought of that? Allah already said, believers, fear Allah and don't die except as Muslims. So what does that mean? It means that maybe now you're a believer, but what really matters is whether you die as a believer. Yeah, whether you die as a believer. So you're asking Allah, Allah, when I die, make sure, Ya Allah, I die as a believer. That is the most important thing. Lastly, to conclude, look what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah had to say. He said the following amazing words, summing up the story of Yusuf al-Islam. He said, on the surface of things, we see that he, Allah, causes Yusuf to become torn away from his father, only then to be sold into slavery, then tested with the temptation of Aziz's wife, falsely accused and had his reputation tarnished, and then finally to place him into prison through no fault of his own. That's the zahir. Then he says, as for the batin, meaning if we look beneath the surface, we see something quite different. The reality is that Yusuf a.s. is being blessed by Allah and being prepared for a magnificent future which would all secure happiness for him in the dunya as well as the life to come. We learn from this that Allah tests his slaves by putting them through tough times, instructing them to do things they don't like, and ask them to stay away from things they desire and are tempted by, in order to pave the way for them towards this true happiness in the immediate future and the everlasting future. Indeed, Allah has surrounded paradise with things we don't like and surrounded hellfire with things that tempt us. Beautiful. And we pray to Allah that He unites us with Yusuf alayhi salam in the Akhirah, and that He takes our lives from us as believers and unites us together with the Salihin in the Akhirah. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. That brings us to the end of this dars. Subhanakallahumma hamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk.